Good evening, welcome. Today is Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025. It's 5:30 p.m. Time for the regularly scheduled city council meeting. And we should call this meeting to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
All council members are present.
Thank you. Our invocation tonight will be led by Pastor Bill Jones from Bethel Community Church. If you would like to join us, please rise.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members, staff. Thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure. Please join me in prayer. Most gracious God, we thank you for this time of fellowship and togetherness. Father, we thank you for bringing this body together for the work of the country. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, for wisdom, understanding, and discernment, and that all the things that we do is pleasing to you. Father, as we are ending in this Thanksgiving season, we give thanks for the many successes and the progress that we've made over this year. And as we look back upon it, Father, we ask that you would continue to bless us so that our coming year would be just as good as this. We thank you for this body. We thank you for their wisdom. We thank you for their time. We thank you for the decisions that are made and all of the things that they've brought into our community that keep us safe, keep us well-oiled, and ready for whatever comes up. We just give you praise, Father, and we thank you again for the opportunity to invite you into this session so that all the things that are done here tonight would be above and pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have no presentations or proclamations this evening. Now comes the time for call to the public. Call to the public is open for citizens wishing to address the council on issues within the jurisdiction of the city that are not already listed as an item on the agenda. As you come to the podium, please state your name clearly for the meeting record. Your comments will be limited to 3 minutes per individual. If you are here representing a group that is present with you, the time will be added to make it 5 minutes. If you are representing a group, please notify the vice mayor and he will set the timer accordingly. At the conclusion of call to the public, individual members of the council may respond to criticism made by those who have addressed the council, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be placed on a future agenda. However, members of the council cannot discuss or take legal action on matters that are not on the agenda. Call to the public is open. Please come forward.
Stephen Lee, Bullhead City. Greetings, Mayor, Council. Just very recently, Nicole Shanahan has done something very brave. She ousted herself and her former husband, as well as the big tech community in general, the World Economic Forum, in exposing the Great Reset agenda that involves both the carbon capture, the climate scam, as well as the COVID shots, the lockdowns, and the entire Great Reset plan to basically lock down humanity. She exposed the whole thing lock, stock, and barrel. For those of you who don't know, she was RFK's vice presidential running mate, and this is a huge victory for humanity. I hope people see this, spread it, and that it goes viral so that everyone understands it. Because as we speak, the United Nations and the World Health Organization are in meetings right now planning, with the U.S. not present because Trump didn't send a representative, to try and impose this on the rest of the world. They have publicly stated their intention is to impose it on us once he's out of power. Trump is not perfect. I'm not praising Trump for everything, but it's something that's very important that we're all aware of, and especially at the city level, because they slip these things in all the time, and it's something you guys need to be aware and diligent on. For anyone who's interested, if we want to have freedom in our government, one thing we have to have is moral leadership. You can't get morals out of a machine. It can emulate it, it can simulate it, but it can't have real empathy, and it can't have real morals to really understand right and wrong, not just rule of law as it's written. So it's very important that we maintain these human values in this changing time. And if anyone's interested, I have a Back to Basics brochure that tells us exactly how we can do that and how we can take back control of our government for humanity, and also has some information on the John Birch Society on how you can take action. So if anyone's interested, please raise your hand as I leave the podium, and I'll be happy to give you a copy. I left some for you guys. If you want more, just let me know. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Hello. I guess I could do this, huh? I'm a short girl. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council members, Bullhead City residents. I'm Rose Jacobs. I'm here tonight representing the Colorado River Concert Series. The Concert Series is celebrating 51 years of providing professional entertainment to the tri-state area. Each year, our performing arts program brings four professional concerts to perform at the Mojave County High School, with the curtain going up at 7 p.m. Our current season started back in November on the 13th with the Mid-Atlantic Men. The trio performed timeless pop songs from the best of what Great Britain and America has to offer. We had 327 attendees for that evening's performance and wonderful reviews. Our other season shows will begin in 2026. January 15th is Lauren Jilinkovich. She's an award-winning classical vocalist, and she will be accompanied by her classically trained pianist. Lauren has been in the music business since she was a young girl. Lauren was a grand prize winner on the talent show Star Search. Maybe some of you have heard that. She has performed off-Broadway as well as Carnegie Hall, the Owensboro Symphony, and the Opera Theater of St. Louis. She also worked with Dolly Parton on the Netflix movie musical Christmas on the Square. If you enjoy classical music, this is the concert for you. Then on February 5th is the group Brothers Doobie, Doobie Brothers, as it refers to. And our last performance is on March 17th, and that will feature the country music recording group The Swan Brothers that were finalists on season 4 of The Voice. Season tickets are only $100 for the three remaining concert performances and can be used as Christmas or Hanukkah gifts. Single tickets for one performance are still $35. Those that are interested in purchasing tickets for our upcoming season or a single performance can visit us on our website, crconcerts.com, crconcerts.com. I thank you, and happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and happy Hanukkah. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, and staff. My name is Diana Lestat. I'm the Loyal Knight of the Bullhead City Elks Lodge, number 2408. And tonight, I come before you to once again tell you about the Elks Annual Basketball Free Throw Hoop Shoot Competition. This event is put on each year by the Bullhead City Elks with cooperation from the Boys and Girls Club of Bullhead City. Open to all boys and girls ages 8 to 13, born before April 1st of 2026. Proof of age must be presented at time of the event for all kids. Winners will move on to the district hoop shoot. Winners from the district will move on to the state of Arizona hoop shoot. Winners will compete on the grand stage at National Basketball Hoop Shoot Competition, where the winners will have their names entered into the Basketball Hall of Fame. So start practicing those free throws now, and we will see you on December 13th, 2025, 10 a.m. at the Boys and Girls Club, which is located at 2250 Highland Road, Bullhead City. For more information, contact the Elks Lodge at 928-758-2408. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next.
I'm Sean Regan, Bullhead City. So last meeting, I kind of eviscerated MEC for something that occurred within the offices. And I just wanted to come forward as acknowledging that they took care of the situation. And I received a call at 8 a.m. the next day, and they really rectified it. They're really for their customers. I did not expect it, and I definitely got what I was looking for out of it. And I just wanted to publicly address that, since I publicly dressed them down. They made it right, they made it good, and they are they're good to their customers for sure. The other thing I wanted to bring up was I made a public records request here, and what I got back was kind of concerning, and I'd like it to either be put on an agenda or discussed amongst yourselves somehow. If we're going to be doing some sort of, I don't want to say renting rooms out because they're kind of free to the organizations, but if we're either leasing or giving space to nonprofits, we really need to make sure that those agreements are up to date. I received one from 2021, and they're currently there, and I think it kind of puts the city in a little bit of a precarious position if things aren't updated annually. And I also, to that note, congratulate River Fund on their $500,000 gift from a family in Laughlin. So going forward, I think we should analyze future requests. They received a great deal of money. And going forward, just so that's on record, they received a lot of money. So, you know, I have always put that in check. I don't see very many attempts at trying to get accountings of the funds that we donate, like Catholic Charities and River Fund and all that. If there is some sort of inspection of the books, it should be made public or at least done on an annual basis. Since they are being given city money, they kind of owe it to the public that we check the books and see what's going on. So that being said, I thank you for your time and have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, City Staff. I'm Bob Arp from Bullhead City. Tonight, I'm here representing the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, the Bullhead Lake Havasu Flotilla. And I'm here to say thank you for the city's ongoing commitment to ensuring boating safety here in our waterways. Recently, we had a couple reached out on local social media saying they bought a boat. They needed help. They weren't sure exactly what to do in order to operate it safely. That generated some other interest by others interested in getting some safety training. And so what we were able to do as the auxiliary is quickly put together our Boat America boating safety class, which upon successful completion and passing the test entitles you to a boating cart in Arizona, good in all 50 states. But I immediately reached out to our great team in Parks and Rec to see if we could get a facility for that 8-hour training. Dave Heath and his team turned to, and in less than 24 hours, we had a plan put together. Particularly, Janie Figueroa was all over it, even showed up that Saturday morning bright and early in the rain to make sure that we were set up appropriately in order to conduct the training. And as a result now, we have several members of our community now that know a lot more about boating safety than they did beforehand. So thank you again for the just terrific response by Dave and his team in Parks and Rec. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Our city council, my name is Paula Fontes-Hamby. I live in the La Puerta area, and I come today to talk again about our veterans. It's common for all of us to care about our veterans, and the cuts keep coming. So I'm just going to go over a little bit of research I found here again. Number one, they're eroding the federal workplace. And I was wondering why there's so many veterans being without jobs. And it said in 1944, the Veterans Preference Act required people to hire the veterans first, give them a chance. And that's why we want. And that's why so many are being laid off, because they're a strong workforce. Okay? And then right now they're de-staffing the suicide hotlines. The numbers are increasing terribly. Veterans and Department of Health and Human Services is losing employees with layoffs, staffing shortage. An estimated 800 to 900 of the 1,130 crisis line workers have worked remotely. So now they're getting rid of the remotely. And so they're cutting their jobs again. But there's several things I'm going to continue on. But the thing is, call our legislatures. Call our, I don't care what side you're on. Call. You can call every day. And they count it. And they listen to you. So it's really important. Another thing we're losing is the research. They were saying that even smoking cigarettes, the research came from the veterans or the care of the veterans and the well-being for them. Another one was the treating of prostate cancer was with the promotion for the veterans. There's cuts to other benefits. You've heard of the SNAP program. They're cutting it. There's thousands, millions of veterans that depend on the SNAP program for food. So call your representatives daily. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Scotty from Bowlhead, and I totally disagree with the last speaker. And I'm speaking as a veteran. I have no problems up there at the VA, getting appointments or whatever. Even if I wanted to get that prostate cancer checked again, I could have it again. Anyway, I'm not going to waste any more time on discussing about veterans care. Nothing wrong with it. And what I have here, police chief, since you're only going to be here a while, is a collision exchange. It says down here, please allow 30 days requesting a copy for a collision report. That's BS. When that guy broke into my house, the district attorney was calling me the next day. The report they had, they press the camera, they press a button, and out comes the report. And it gets checked out. There's no reason that I have to wait 30 days. In fact, I asked today for the report. This accident happened on December, or wait a minute, what month am I in? It happened on November 10th. That's how many days. This is December 2nd. I can't get a lawyer. It was his fault. He turned left in front of me, right down here, Marina Boulevard. And there's no reason that I can't get a report. In fact, the gal's going to try and push it, you know, after 20-something days. It's just ridiculous. I can't get, thank God I've got VA medical care, because I got, my head hit the ceiling of my car. It knocked the hell out of me. Anyway, I'm going to see somebody tomorrow. The chiropractor wouldn't even work on me. I had an appointment the day after. And she touched me in the back, and bam, she quit. So I am injured, but I need the report. I shouldn't have to wait 30 days. It's just like the agenda, the minutes, they've never, ever, ever been right in this town. And you guys keep voting and approving them. At the county seat, she just presses a button just like your AI does. You press a button and out comes a report. She has her total minutes done within 1 hour, and it's printed out. There's no reason why you can't buy her some equipment to do that, Toby Carter. There's no reason why it can't be exacto, because I need some of it exacto to go to court against you guys for the Attorney General. But you're printing out false report. But you guys will approve it again tonight, even though it's wrong. You did last week when I complained about it. Those Jeeps down there are nothing but mosquito breeders. One of the fuel tanks, the gas cap is missing. You don't think
Thank
that's
you.
Not going to get full of water?
Time is up. Thank you much.
Next.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, City Staff, Administration. I'm Larry Toonforce, Bullhead City. And the spirit of Christmas starts Friday in Bullhead City with the 27th Annual Boombox Parade, which as of today, there's 126 entries in that parade. The next night, there are two inaugural events in Bullhead City, the Lights of the Park, but I'm not going to talk about that because I'm sure somebody else is going to. If you need more information on that, you call Leslie Chester, 702-501-7518. The second inaugural event is the Kiwanis Community Christmas Caroling Celebration at 6 p.m. on Saturday night in the John and Olivia McCormick Pavilion, Performing Arts Pavilion. On stage will be Mojave High School and Desert Star Academy High School. With Hope United Methodist Church participating, Tri-State families will receive a free book with 25 Christmas songs in it, which you've all received tonight. We've also, thank you to Jackie Jensen, we have QR codes which we'll have up that night so people can download the words to their phone if they want to. When we get ready to sing the 17th song in there, Oh Christmas Tree, that great big Christmas tree over in the park will be lit. And it's going to be a great night. Thanks to everybody who has sponsored it, particularly Mojave Electric Cooperative and Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Warm C paid for all these. MEC paid for just about everything else. We have a beautiful backdrop with a Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. Everything is free that night. The Salvation Army and Culligan Water have teamed up to provide hot chocolate. We'll be serving it all night. We have 20 gallons of hot chocolate to give away. And I hope to see you there. The mayor will be opening the evening with a nice speech. Thank you very much. Everyone have a Merry
Thank
Christmas.
You. Thank you. Next. Seeing no one rise, we'll move forward. Do we have any items to be withdrawn from the agenda? Hearing none, I'll take a waiver motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to waive the reading in full of all ordinances and resolutions presented for adoption at this meeting.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mayor Head, Council Members. Good evening. A few items this evening. One, Mr. Clark will be just a little bit longer. We'll move through these as quickly as possible, but some really good information to share with the community this evening. So first will be Ms. Johnson presenting on the flood control projects and the right turn lanes.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter, Mayor and Council. Tonight I want to give you guys an update on flood control projects that we have finished over the last two and a half years. Curb and gutter has been a big one. Every year we try and get as much curb and gutter as we can. We have a list. We pick the worst areas to start with. If we put curb and gutter in your area and we maybe haven't been by your place, we usually work from the low to go up to the high. So if you live on a hill and there's no curb and gutter up top and we did it on the bottom, it may be this year, it might be next year. There's a list, an ongoing list. So in the last 2.5 years, we have installed 33,804 lineal feet of curb and gutter. That's 6.4 miles. In various locations, Buena Vista area has been a major problem for our staff. So anywhere from north side or south side of Raymar, Raymar, Telk, Dorado, Turquoise Road, Montana Vista, Plata Drive, Dorado Way, and many other streets in the area, some on Rio Vista Drive as well. We've also went up on the north end of town and worked on the Lake Mojave Highlands area. Locust Boulevard was a big street that 1 foot, 2 foot drop-offs every time it rained. Sycamore Avenue, Oak Avenue, Sycamore Place, Rosewood, and other streets in that area. Down by Mojave Drive, we installed some kind of by scooters. That was a big area with the curb and gutter. East Marble Canyon, Pine Road, and Miracle Mile. These are just some of the streets that we've done. I know I've missed probably quite a few. I'm sorry I don't have pictures. I went through all my pictures and I struggled to find some tonight. The other thing that we have done is on North Oatman, just east of the Catholic Church, there's that low area. We went back and looked at the plans when the road was actually constructed, and there was supposed to be a pipe that was supposed to drain into the wash. So we went back and we reinstalled the pipe because it wasn't there, and that's the reason why the water always sat on that street. So we installed 100 feet of new pipe and put in a catch basin, and that area has actually helped out a lot. Also, Lariat up in Arroyo Vista, that pipe actually, that was a big hole in the road. We had a big rain event earlier, probably June-ish. The pipe was actually rusted out. It was a metal pipe. So we installed a new 85-foot plastic corrugated pipe. Also up on Arroyo Vista, the road itself, just south of the fire department, there's a big box or a big culvert that goes underneath the roadway. It was brought to my attention just with a lot of rain events and stuff. The pipe itself was actually starting to show, and it was starting to undermine on the pipe. Just recently, we had a contractor come in and regrade and fix that. My plan is, in the near future, we're going to put riprap around the pipe just to stabilize it, and we'll grout it. This is like multiple washes and retention basins around town, cleaning overgrown trees, sediment, removing over the years, and trash. Areas that we have cleaned or removed or added. Secret Pass Wash, Community Park, that one's a big one. Usually if we have a big rain event that goes into the river, that's usually an emergency type project. We have to reach out to the Army Corps and let them know what we're doing, and we get in and do it as soon as we can because it's a navigational hazard. Retention basin at City Square, that was cleaned out just recently. Mountain View Wash, the road was starting to wash out on the sides. That was fixed. Havasu Pie, Mojave Drive, and Highway 95. Chaparral Retention, there's a new retention basin up just on the, I call it the east side of Chaparral Drive itself. The water was coming down and then it was puddling. Yes, we still get deep puddles, but there's some other things that we need to start looking at. But the retention basin up on top helped with, so that when we have these nuisance rains, it isn't a problem every time it rains. Some other projects that we've done, there's a berm up on the north end of town by the post office. There was a couple years where the water was actually going onto the road, and it was a big hazard. So we went back into that property. We do have a flood control channel back there, and we fixed the berm and stabilized it. A big wash that we did stabilize, it was a couple years ago. We worked with the mine. They actually donated all the big boulders. It was up in McCormick. So Park View, Park Crest Drive, Park River Drive, we installed large riprap and grouted it, and all that area is actually holding up well now after all these last rains. We've installed retention at Riviera Boulevard down the center median, and one project that's currently underway right now is on the parkway from Adobe down to Highway 95. The medians keep getting washed out. We've reinstalled millings and packed it. We had McCormick out there today tacking it. My team will be in flooring it tomorrow, so hopefully that will help with that issue. If it works, we'll take a look at it and maybe try and get the rest of the parkway that way. We've also stabilized a lot of slopes. A few examples, Holiday Inn, the hill over by Holiday Inn, Optimum, that big hill, when we graded that, we were worried the rains and stuff would start sloughing down, so we installed a lot of riprap up there. We also installed quite a few dry wells. A few of them, just off the top of my head, is Fox Drive, Hancock. That one, we ended up going in and actually redoing it because there's dry wells on Hancock. Sometimes there's puddles. There was one area that was super bad. Found out that the dry well was actually full of dirt and material, so we had to go in and redo the entire dry well. Papago Drive, Malibu Drive, and then, of course, just our general flood cleanup. I stand for any questions on that. Okay. So the next one is the right turn lanes, and I really just wanted to give you guys an update because there's traffic control on Highway 95 now. So Perco did move in on Laughlin Ranch this week. Their electrician is in this week. They're taking out the pole foundations in preparations of moving a couple signal poles back. They will start demoing sidewalk. They've been moving the landscape rock away, so I asked them, we had to salvage it because I can't get that color anymore, unfortunate. So they'll start utilities next week. Curb and gutter will be the week of the 14th. They plan on paving the new right turn lane the week right after Christmas. Perco does work 6 days a week, so you guys will be seeing them out there Monday through Saturday. They work sun up to sundown. Most of the work will be done during the day, except for when we pave the curb and the gutter and pave the actual lanes. And they plan to be done with final striping probably early January, because we have to let the roadway sit for 30 days before we can do final striping. Mojave Drive is currently under construction as well. There's been traffic control down there. The electrician is on site this week. They are going to start probably grading next week. That work will be also during the day, except for a few things at night. And then the right turn lane by the hospital from Marina to, I believe, North Oatman. That project probably won't actually start till February. We ran into a gas line that we found out that nobody knew about. So we're working with Southwest Gas, but we will start installing the box culvert as soon as we get a few kinks figured out with Southwest. So we'll get that done first, and then we'll start into the actual project. Safeway right turn lane, that will be all night work. We had our pre-construction meetings with Perco 2 weeks ago, I believe, and Perco is planning on moving in on February 15th. They plan, fingers crossed, they want to get the job done in 30 days. And then there is another project ongoing that is not a city project, but just more for the public to know. Circle K is currently working on getting the right turn lane put in front of their property. They did relocate all the streetlights. They have to move the power box that takes care of the hawk that the city owns. So they're having MEC move that. We will do a press release when that hawk is shut down, because we're trying to get it done within a one-day window, but if something happens, it might get closed for one night or something. But my goal is with them is to make sure that they keep it operational, as you know, rather than to switch it. And then they'll be also working nights. This project, we're figuring maybe curb gutter paving within the next 30 days. And that ends my report.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. And that's exciting news on the Safeway right turn lane. That's a huge project. I know everybody's excited about it. Putting that third lane in front of Safeway, essentially from Wells Fargo all the way down to Terrible's, is a monumental project. And if a contractor can do it in 30 days, I think we're all going to sit and admire that that bit of work. So we look forward to it. It's probably the one infrastructure project everybody's talking about. So looking forward to that in February and March. Now, Council, I'm going to turn it over to our Utilities Director, Mr. Clark. He's got a brief presentation as well.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. Mr. Mayor, Council members, we're going to go through a few of the projects that we've had going over the last year give you some information on each of the projects. A lot of our projects, unfortunately, we either bury or they're inside a storage tank, so nobody gets a chance to see a lot of what we do. Next slide, please. There we go. Okay, this is the picture of one of the insides of one of our storage tanks. This is our Site 3 South tank. What happened was we had a leak in the bottom of this tank that was coming out, and it was going all the way down the road. So we had an emergency repair done to it, and then it started leaking again. Of course, the tank was full of water, so we couldn't really get in there to see what was happening. And it was leaking quite a bit. So we went in, we drained the tank, and these are some pictures of the inside of what that tank looked like on the left side. On the right side, I just wanted to point out, you see in the foreground there that that's what we call a valve wrench. And we tried to shut down the water going into that tank, and the valve did not completely shut. So we tried shutting the valve tank, and that didn't shut down fully. So we had to replace that valve as part of the repair work on this tank. And these are two of our employees that you see here. That's that valve you saw in the prior picture, them replacing that valve. Next slide. These are some additional pictures inside that tank. You can see it doesn't look in terrible shape. And for the most part, the walls and the floor, other than the holes in the floor, was in pretty good shape. Next slide. Those are the 17 holes that we had in the bottom of that storage tank that had to be welded. We had to have patches welded over. The tank was leaking quite a bit, and we were losing millions of gallons of water through these holes in the bottom of this tank. Next slide. This is what the tank looked like when we finished it. What they did was they sandblasted the entire inside of this tank, and we repainted it with an epoxy paint, and it looks pristine. You can see from these pictures, it looks just great. And the valves on the tank have been repaired, so they shut down like they're supposed to. Next slide. And there's another picture of the inside and a picture of the outside. The outside was sandblasted as well and all repainted. We had some other outside work done. The tank level gauge was repaired. The weather stripping around the hatches was all repaired. And the vents were all repaired on this tank as well. Next slide. This is a geyser, a 30-foot geyser that the main line to Fox Creek blew a hole. You can see the hole in the line in the picture on the right, and that caused that 30-foot geyser. This is the single line that feeds all of the Fox Creek area. And unfortunately for us, that line is less than a foot deep. What happened was when Laredo, and you can see Laredo Road here, when Laredo Road was cut to make this curve, instead of being a straight in, the road was cut down 4 feet. This line used to be 4 feet deep, but when they put this new road in, nobody was paying attention to the water line that was under there, and now it's less than a foot deep. So we did get it all repaired, and we just have to be careful with this area now. Next slide. Here we go. This is another slide. We had an uninvited visitor to one of our well sites. This is our Big Bend site. You can see in the picture on the left there, on the very left side of that screen, part of a vehicle bumper. He ran over our gate, and you can see tire tracks just past the fencing there. He actually jumped a retention pond that was there, and the picture on the right shows where he ended up running over our equipment. You can see the hole in front of the concrete pad where he ripped out one of the posts holding up our canopy there. When the valves don't work, you can see our staff in the picture on the right, they're replacing a meter at one of our well sites, and that's what it's like, and we have this happen quite a bit to us, and that's why we've started the valve replacement program that council approved earlier this year through our CIP project. The picture on the left here is a piece of ductile iron pipe that we pulled out of Merrill Avenue. We had a leak in Highway 95. We repaired that leak, and then we energized the line, and it started leaking again. So we wound up having to pull the extra piece out, and this was that other piece we had to pull out. We wound up having to take all the ductile iron pipe out of that area and replace all of it with PVC pipe because all of the ductile iron pipe was just about gone. Unfortunately, whoever put this pipe in did not wrap it, and our soils here are very active and they eat ductile iron. So that's why we try not to use it unless we absolutely have to in the water system. Next slide. This is moving on to our Section 10 wastewater treatment plant. We're doing a rehabilitation project there. We're expanding our plant from 4 million gallons a day to 6 million gallons a day. We're running around 3.6 million gallons a day through this plant, and that is the foundation. That's about 25 feet deep there, that hole that you see on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, we have one of our operators, Brian Reed, there, and you can see right next to him, you see kind of a golden-colored piece of pipe, and then on the far left where it's coming out towards us, there's another kind of golden-looking piece of pipe. Well, what happens is water sewage goes through this headworks project, goes into a wet well, and all those white pipes you see, we have pumps down in the bottom of the wet well that pump the sewage into these pipes, and then it goes into the rest of the plant for treatment. Well, one of those pipes burst, and we wound up having a bit of a flood at our wastewater treatment plant. We got it all cleaned up, and the plant is operating very well at this point. Next slide. This is the basement. This is what went on top of that foundation you saw in the prior picture. You see that orange in there, that nice bright orange? That's the coating that we put on the concrete to help protect it from the hydrogen sulfide gas that will be in that area. The picture on the right, if you see that little red cooler there, right below it and to the left, you can just make out the electrical conduit in that massive chunk of concrete. When we run concrete through projects like this, we encase them in concrete so that if anybody's digging in the area, it protects our electrical equipment. Well, whoever poured this concrete must have taken a couple of truckloads of concrete and poured it over it, and they way overkill. We lost a week and a half worth of time because we had to chip that concrete out very carefully to protect the conduit underneath. Next slide. These are our bar screens. That's what this whole headworks is really about. These bar screens are designed to take all of the material that is not processed through the wastewater treatment process. So it pulls out the flushable rags, which are not flushable. I can't say that enough. At each of our council meetings, flushable flat rags do not belong going down your toilet. Please do not do that. We spend literally hundreds of thousands of dollars a year repairing and replacing pumps and motors because of flushable rags. So that's the basement of the headworks, where you see those bar screens going in and the channels there. The picture on the right shows the air conditioning unit that's being installed for that headworks building. Next slide. So this is the upper end of that headworks building. You see the bar screens in that picture on the left. That's the upper part of them. And what it is, it's like a big conveyor belt that picks up the rags and other material, bowling bogs, wood, everything else we get in the system. It takes it, it will bring it up here and put it on that conveyor belt. The picture on the right shows the conveyor belt coming out, where it's going to dump it into a dumpster, and then Republic State will come and take it away. Those two units there will be enough to handle 6 million gallons a day. We have a third opening there for a third unit, which we will put in during the next expansion, going to 8 million gallons a day. Next slide. Okay, this is another picture of the headworks. You see, in the picture on the right, you see some big concrete pads there. That is for our odor control equipment that we have. The picture on the left, those two big tanks you see, that is the odor control equipment that'll be installed in front of that building. And then that blue box you see down there at the bottom of the right-hand screen, we have a big 42-inch pipe that will take the sewage from that building and take it into the wet well that you'll see in the next pictures. Next slide. So you see conduit, that's a bunch of the new conduit being installed. And then there's that blue box. You see, that's a 42-inch hole there that we had to core through the concrete that's going to go into our existing wet well. And next slide. There's the wet well in the picture on the right. And you see all those white pipes and the pumps in the bottom of that wet well. The picture on the left is the hole that came from that blue box that you saw in the previous slide. And what they're going to do is they're going to go through that entrance there and core through that other side of that box area there. And that will open it up to where those pumps are. Now, once those pumps will be pumping that that sewage into those white pipes you saw in one of those first pictures early on where Brian Reed was standing in front of them. Next slide. Okay, we have a short video to show you on the headworks. Yeah, here we go. So this is our headworks. That big hole was 20 feet deep, and this is showing the progress of that headworks project going in. Those are the bar screens before they were installed. This is the electrical building, or the electrical room, I should say. There's the conveyors that will bring the material out. That's the conveyor system. There's the headworks with the bar, the screening. We can close each channel off for repairs to the equipment. That's the bar screens being installed. We had a huge crane come in to be able to install those because they're 25 foot long. There it is being lifted. So when we have to do repairs on these and take them out, we need to get a crane in to assist in removing them. Okay, the next slide, please. Oh, back one. This is the aeration basin that is under construction out there at Section 10. What we're looking at in the left picture is the backside of aeration basin number one, which will be the side of the new aeration basin. You can see we've got a lot of the rebar is in place on the picture on the right. We still need to cut out a bit of that wall or a bit of that dirt to finish getting the rebar in. Next slide. This is our 18-1 lift station. That's the bar screen that we put in there. We did have a lot of problems with this project. As you're aware, we had to do an amendment to this project because the walls were basically collapsing on us in there. So what we did was, in addition to repairing this site, we put in a bar screen as well, so we did some improvements to this site to try and get the rags and bowling balls and all the other material out of the sewage stream before it gets pumped to our 18-2 lift station and ultimately to our Section 18 wastewater treatment plant. Next slide. And you can see this one was even longer. This was about 30 foot deep, this bar screen. And the picture on the right shows you the finished product that brings the material up from the wet well and puts it in that conveyor and dumps it in the dumpster, which Republic then comes and takes away. Next slide. Okay, we have a little video on the 18-1 lift station, too. Oh, that's the aeration basin there. Along with the aeration basin, we're putting in a new splitter box, too, which will allow us to control where the sewage goes. And that's where that hill needs to be cut back some. This is the 18-1. Keep going with that next video. And this is the 18-1 lift station. And you'll remember that we showed you pictures of these walls and all the exposed rebar that had to be removed and replaced. We had a lot of holes we had to drill here or dig here that were over 20 feet deep to get to the sewer main that's pretty deep in this area. And this is the bypass pumping that we had to do to pump around this lift station while it was under reconstruction. Those are the pumps. And that's the finished product there. We still have some cleanup to do on the outside of the plant. This is our 20-1 well site here. This will be our largest producing well in the entire city. We anticipate it being able to produce somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 gallons a minute. This will pump to a new storage facility that we're going to be constructing next year with a 1.125 million gallon storage tank. This and our Big Bend well site will be pumping into that new tank. That will be used to feed the area around Miracle Mile, as well as the Riviera, Riverbend, and Holiday Shores area. That's our electrical building. We put electrical buildings on all our sites now. Last summer, we had our 16-2 well site. Our electrical cabinets literally melted. The cabinet itself didn't melt, but all the equipment inside did, and we had to rebuild the entire cabinet or have a new cabinet rebuilt for that. So all of our electrical equipment, which is very sensitive here, sometimes we have to leave our cabinets open during the summer because they get so hot. And that's why eventually we'll get to rehabbing and putting electrical cabinets at all of our well sites, but that's a lower priority item. Next slide. So this is the well site that you saw in those pictures. We're all done. We're just waiting for some wire to be pulled, and then I'm hopeful that we will be actually starting this well up next week. Next slide. This was an incident that happened recently. Many of you have seen the blockade over there at the south end of Rotary Park. We have a force main that takes all of the sewage from the Riviera, Riverbend, Holiday Shores, the hospital, Fox Creek, goes through this line, this lift station here. A lift station is an area that's low, so all the sewage gravities into that lift station, then you have to pump it up to our Section 10 plant. We had a break in that line. We got the break fixed, and we re-energized the line, and we had another break show up. And in the picture on the right, if you look carefully towards the middle of the picture, it doesn't show up that well, but you see kind of a black stream coming out. That's raw sewage coming out of there. It was all contained. Everything was fine, but we did have to get what's an unusual component for this. They had an 11 1/4 inch elbow, which is almost never used. We found one in Texas, and it took us a little while to find one because they're not well used. So, but it's all closed up. We are just waiting for the vault because we had to put a vault around this so that if anything happens again, we'll be able to get to it. And the vault is still not manufactured. Again, the size is an odd size. Next slide. This is the last slide. And the reason I want to point this one out, this is our clarifier out at our Section 10 plant. You can see how crystal clear that water is once it's finished with its process. And that water is actually cleaner than the water that you see in the river right there at this point. And from this point, we take it and we run it through a cloth filter just to get anything else that might be, you know, floating around in it. It goes through that, and then it goes through UV disinfection, and then we put it back in the river. So you can see how crystal clear that is. It's really a great, great operating plant. I would stand for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And again, as Mark said, these are projects that people ask us a lot to look into and show off and present. And so thank you for your time in that. And again, places that we'll never be able to go. Mark just took you there, and he's not asking for any money tonight. So we're good there. Just a quick update on Chaparral. The city's operations continue. Everything is going very well. Our staff is operating very efficiently. The Series 5 liquor license is in the city's name. We believe we'll be able to close on time, and everything is running in the right direction. The course, from what I see and from what everybody tells me, is in the best shape it's been in a very long time, and so everyone is very happy with that. As was mentioned earlier, call to the public. The Boombox Parade is Friday. Council, you'll get some additional details tomorrow about that. It'll be Friday night, starts at 6, Line, Hancock, and Train Road. It's the best parade by far that the city and the volunteers and organizations put on. Sounds huge. It is huge. It's very wonderful. Friday night on Hancock here in Bullhead City. And then we're just going to touch a little bit on the magic of Christmas. Is Dave here? Yeah, Dave's right here. Sorry, Dave. Dave Heath, our recreation superintendent, is going to talk just a little bit about the magic of Christmas event.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. Mr. Mayor, council members, season's greetings, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. It's that time of year, and it's 11 days away from our Magic of Christmas event. This is the event that we have at the Anderson Auto Group Fieldhouse. This year is presented by Republic Services once again. We're very thankful to them for helping us out with this event. It's going to be more fun than it's ever been. I feel safe in saying that. We have some amazing rides for the kids, and adults can go on them too. It's $5 at the door if you want to get a ticket to go on the rides. If you don't want to get a ticket, that's okay. If you just want to go in and check it out or go to the vendors or enjoy some of the food that we have there, it's free. Come in, and it's free to go to the petting zoo. It's free to check out the vendors. It's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the end, again, at the Anderson Auto Group Fieldhouse on December 13th. Like I said, $5 at the door for a wristband to get you on all the rides. Those rides include lots of inflatables. We have a 220-foot long zip line that we're going to be putting up this year. That's new. It's a 35-foot alpine slide that we have, and just especially for the city manager, we're bringing in a reindeer. It's a mechanical reindeer that you kind of ride it like a bull, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're excited to have that out there this year too. I, from what I understand, I think he might be the first one to go out and ride on it. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But 20 holiday vendors that we'll have in there. We didn't have vendors last year. We heard some comments about that, so we're bringing vendors back this year. We have some amazing food vendors in Frosty's Food Row. We've got Infuse Energy, Roland J's, Foodini's, and many more of your favorites that you have around Bullhead City all the time. Like I said before, we have a petting zoo, all the rides, and, of course, the great entertainment. Last year we had a special guest, Godfrey the Magical Elf, and if anybody went to that, you realize why we had to have him back this year, too. He was just a huge crowd favorite. But we'll also have all our local entertainers, too, dancers, singers, bands, you name it. Parking is free at the event. There'll be plenty of parking behind the field house, but if that happens to run out, we will be shuttling people, again, for free, from the Boot Barn over to the field house and back and forth. I got to tell you, this event takes a lot to pull off. Our staff works very hard on it. And I've got to give a shout out to Claire Adams. She's our senior recreation supervisor, and she just does an amazing job. She wishes she could have been here tonight. Unfortunately, she could not. So she just wanted to give her season's greetings to everybody, and she really hopes everyone comes, as do we all. It's going to be a lot of fun. And finally, I want to send a huge thank you to our great sponsors that we have out there. In addition to Republic Services, we have Jimmy John's, Valley View Medical Center, Dot Foods, Canyon View Dental Care, and TWN Communications. That's all, unless anyone has any questions.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Mayor and Council comments. We'll start with Councilmember Smith. Comments? Councilmember Dahlman?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple things. One, I want to touch on before I mention the Community Pride Advocates, Lights in the Park. I want to throw a shout out to Los Matadores. Every year, those gentlemen give up their time and energy, their own resources, to put lights at the north end, the south end, and the corner of Marina and Highway 95. But that being said, Community Pride Advocates decided to procure their 30-foot Christmas tree that they didn't want to do anything with, so then we so graciously got them to donate that to the city of Bullhead. And the city, and between Angie's crew and Dave Heath's crew and Rec Kids, that tree is up, and the tree will be lighted on the evening of the 6th. I believe a star is going up on top, if I'm not mistaken, Dave, correct, before the 6th, Angie. And then they will light the tree at the time that the Kiwanis Club is going to be singing O Christmas Tree, which is probably number 17th song in their repertoire that they're doing. And the displays you see outside that were kind of small this year. We tried to do a little light competition, which is going on. Sign-ups are over, unfortunately, but you can enjoy those lights and displays on the southeast section of the pavilion. Well, I had to really think about my directions here. And you can go and enjoy those either the night of the caroling or right after the boombox parade, and they'll be up the entire month of December, enhancing what Los Matadores already does in the park. And then if you're bored, because we have nothing to do in this city, the Kiwanis Club of the Colorado River, which is the noon club, has their twice-a-year poker run. This one is the sleigh run. They do it every year the first Saturday of December. And you can go to KiwanisPokerRun.com, still sign up. You will be able to go. It's off of Boundary Cone Road is where it starts and ends, about 50 miles out in the desert. If you're looking for a little fun and off-roading, you will get with your entry a poker hand, a couple of lunches, and if you were one of the first 100 to sign up, you get a whip flag as well. You'll get a commemorative coin, and then we are asking you to bring an unwrapped gift. We're partnering with Fort Mojave Fire. We're giving the unwrapped gifts to them to then make sure that children in their area are able to have some toys. So that's it.
Thank you, Councilmember. Vice Mayor.
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to bring up is the fact that we want to see as many people as we can at the Boombox Parade. To me, it's the start of the Christmas season. Instead of like Walmart starting in July and August. People put a lot of effort, time, trouble, and effort, and money into the displays and the things that you see in a parade. So we'd like to see all of you there and have a Merry Christmas at the same time.
Councilmember Newland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Would like to wish everyone happy holidays, and I always like to remind people to shop local. We've got some great small businesses and big box stores here in Bullhead. You may find yourself with some new electronics this holiday season, RC cars, toys. They often come with rechargeable lithium batteries, and I just wanted to make everyone aware of these. These are a battery charging bag that they're very simple to use and inexpensive. You just charge your lithium battery inside here in a safe location, and they greatly reduce your chances of if you have a battery fire of that fire spreading. So happy holidays, everyone. Enjoy.
Councilmember.
If you don't know, I volunteered down at the Bullhead City Food Bank, and over the Thanksgiving holiday, we fed over 900 families with the turkey giveaways that we had down there. Also, we're averaging about 900 families a week down there, and that's a tremendous increase. We weren't even close to that before. So if you need something to do during the holiday season, we could definitely use some help down there handing out food to people. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you, council members. I just want to say to those of you that we may not see at our last regular meeting in 2 weeks, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. This has been a really amazing year for Bullhead City, and I know that we'll be continuing on. So, again, happy holidays, and please visit with your friends, and let's have a wonderful, warm, festive season here in Bullhead City. Let's see, any items to be withdrawn from the consent agenda? Seeing none, I'll take a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to take a make a motion to accept the consent agenda as stated.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
3.
Item number 3, discussion and possible action to 1, approve an agreement with Pepperball, a division of United Tactical Systems, LLC, for Pepperball products and training in the amount of $77,127.17. 2, authorize the city manager to execute the agreement and issue resulting payments on behalf of the city. And 3, approve a transfer of $77,127.17 from general fund contingency.
Mayor, council members, I'll start with interim chief Danny Sharp, and he can kick off the item.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, Pepperball equipment is used to de-escalate situations that our officers encounter on a day-to-day basis. The Bullhead City Police Department has been using less lethal Pepperball for more than 2 decades, and the equipment that we have is at the end of its life. We'd like to have it deployed on a daily basis, and it's maintaining the system has become almost impossible. And that's the reason we couldn't wait until the new fiscal year, and that's the reason that we talked to Mr. Cotter about bringing this forward now. If you have any questions about some of the historic things, I've asked our deputy chief and Corporal Danny Crawford to be available too to answer any questions, and with that, we'll be happy to respond.
Questions? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Deputy Chief. Officer Crawford, on the Pepperballs, are these things age-dated? Is there an expiration date for how long you can keep? Because you buy thousands of them at a time to put in storage.
Yes, they do have a date. I don't know specifically how long it is. Probably 24 to 36 months. And then they could be used for training after that, but their deployment period would be within that date range.
Okay, now using these Pepperballs is generally powder on the inside. We have a lot of wind here, or I should say a heavy breeze. Does it affect the use of this particular product where you'd have to resort to using a bean bag instead? Or
no, you know, a pepper ball, it's just like pepper spray. We get exposed to it in the academy. It's so that we're familiar with it and we learn how to function in that environment. So it doesn't create a hazard. It can create anxiety for people. It dissipates fairly quickly. I can't think of an instance that we could deploy enough Pepperball that we would ever have to evacuate a neighborhood. We could literally move people 25 feet one direction or the other direction and get them out of that environment.
Okay, now this...
It settles. It doesn't stay airborne like aerosol does.
Okay, now this weapon that you use with the Pepperballs, I know there's some on the market. What do they weigh?
Yeah, it really depends on the attachment, whether you're running a magazine fed, whether you have a hopper fed one, a few pounds. It's going to be lighter than our patrol rifles. And I would like to just correct you really quick. They're not weapons. That's a projectile.
That's a deterrent.
It's for deploying a projectile. So they're not in any way used in a situation that we should be using firearms.
Okay, and do you guys have enough room on your service belt for another piece of equipment?
It doesn't get carried that way. If you already took it down. But it's not a whole lot bigger than a paintball. There's a picture of one right there. They're smaller than our patrol rifles. They generally will have a sling on them, so we can sling them when we need to go hands-on with somebody. They do have a pistol version. We're not interested in the pistol versions. It's not practical for us. But that's a pretty accurate depiction of how large they are. Those don't have the air bottle on them. That other picture that you saw actually has the air bottle. It's built into the stock. It's a little more ergonomic than the old versions. But you can see it right there. It's probably less than 2 feet.
And Vice Mayor, we're prepared. Like, the vehicles are set up with the lock box in the back. So we'll be able to put those in the back, secure them until the officers need them for the certain calls, and then they'll get them and pull them out and then sling them. It's not something they'll carry to every call.
Really good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone in the audience wish to address this item? Seeing no one rise, council, what's your pleasure?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to approve item three as read.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number four.
Item number four, discussion and possible action to approve renaming Firebird Field and Rotary Park to Bighorn Field.
Mayorhead, council members, this has been an item of discussion internally for us for quite a while now, moving the college soccer team to Rotary Park at Firebird Field. So Dave and I have been talking about this for quite some time because Firebird Field was based on the Firebird team from the 1990s. So that team no longer plays there. There is no longer the Firebirds. But let's not forget, that was a glorious team and some great winning football players. But now we've got a lot of different players that utilize that field, including the city, for some championship-type tournament games and other games where Dave would schedule there. But primarily, it's being used by the college for Bighorn soccer. Might I add some championship soccer as well? I'm sure we might hear that in just a moment. But it is a top-notch field, arguably one of the best fields in America for junior college athletics. I think we can brag about that. I'm pretty proud of our staff and the facilities that we have, led by Angie and her team and Victor and all of the folks out there who are working hard every day to make our facilities awesome. I'd ask Dave to come up and just give a little history on the Firebirds and the folks he's talked to and why it's okay to make this change now. I think all of the folks affiliated with Firebird are happy with what Dave and I have come up with so that we have a historical recollection of Firebird and an opportunity to move forward.
Thank you, Toby. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. And I'll go back even a little bit before the Firebirds, to which I know a couple of you council members will recall when Dan Ayler and the Rotary Club worked with the BLM to get that first 10 acres of grass there at the corner of Chaparral and Lakeside from BLM to get the recreation and public purpose lease under control of the city. Back in, I think it was about 1986 when that happened. And since it was the Rotary Club members that were doing it, the name Rotary Park kind of stuck, and they kind of stuck with the park and kept doing things after that. But shortly thereafter, we had a need for Pop Warner in this community. We had youth basketball, we had youth baseball, we had flag football. It was time for some youth tackle football, so we got Pop Warner came to town. Very involved with that Pop Warner program was Rory and Carolyn Hanisch. They worked really hard to get equipment, to get sponsors, and to get kids out there and start playing. And what they really needed was more than just a little piece of grass that they could paint off and make it a football field. They wanted an actual stadium. So they worked hard, they got donations, and they got very creative with it. Some of the folks that probably should be thanked again include the City of Needles, who got the transformers donated to us, the Fort Mojave Indian Tribe, who dug the holes for the poles and set the poles for us, and Bob Edgman was able to get Maury McAllister, a businessman in town at that time, to donate the light poles for the stadium too, and that was a huge benefit to the area. It was the first lights that we had on any sports field in this town, so it was a big deal for us, and we were happy any city sports field in this town at that time. So we were happy that they had that. They worked hard. They had many great seasons, like Toby said. And then we've evolved. The Firebirds have kind of fizzled as an organization. There are still tackle football teams out there, and there's still a need for tackle football in this town. And then back in 2017, I heard from Mr. Ayler once again, kind of a random phone call I got one day, and he said, "Hey, would you like a football field?" And I didn't understand at first, but he explained it to me that the Cheez-It Bowl was the college football bowl game that happens at Bank One Ballpark at the time in Phoenix every year. And it's sponsored by the Fiesta Bowl Foundation. And when they have that, of course, that's a baseball field. So when they had that Cheez-It Bowl college football game on the baseball field, they had to bring in grass to make sure that it was a whole football field instead of playing on the dirt infield. So They did that. They bring inside, they put it down, they paint it. It looks beautiful for the bowl game. When they're done, they don't want to just roll it up and throw it away. So they got into the habit of donating it. They work with the BHHS Legacy Foundation, of course, who's been tremendously helpful for us in all kinds of ways in our parks throughout the years and in this whole community throughout the years, to find places where they can donate it throughout the state. And Mr. Ehler talked to us about that. And it just so happened that that particular patch of grass was one of the most difficult patches of grass that we had in the entire park system for growing grass. There was so much clay, so much salinity in there. It was tough to grow grass. Victor worked really hard on it. He got it looking better than it had ever looked to that point. This was an amazing opportunity for him. So we said, yes, we'll take that grass. We had to come up with a plan. Angie and the folks in Public Works worked with me when I was in parks at the time. To come out and help us to excavate four feet in that area. We worked with local contractors to come out and try our, I don't want to get into naming names because I'm going to probably miss somebody right now, but we had a lot of contractors that came out here with trucks and just hauled off more than 400 loads of dirt from the park to excavate down and then bring in rock and then gravel and then sand and then, top dressing for the whole field, and then we put the field on top of that, laid it all out, and started growing it. And it was right around this time in 2017 into 2018 when it finally happened, and we got grass growing. And it took it from being the most difficult place in our park system to grow grass to the best grass we have in the whole park system. It's beautiful. It's even gotten to the point now where they've put so much care and attention into it, into making it even next level kind of grass with the kind of grass that Victor's putting on it now and then the kind of mowers that he's using on it and the kind of care that takes with fertilization and everything to make it a premier spot for the college soccer team too. And I do want to also mention that it's not just used for the college soccer team. We also have football games on there still too for the local youth tackle football programs, and sometimes we'll have an occasional soccer tournament that'll use it as well. But we only use that area for the premier games, the real highlighters, the one that you got people in the stands for, and it's really kind of a showcase field in the park. So, I
think that thank about you, Dave. Set it up. So with that history, we're going to take that and put a monument down there to recognize all of the people that have helped over all of the years and reflect back, so we'll never lose the Firebird name, changing it to the Bighorn. So as part of that, there's a cost, right, in changing it. I want to show the field. That's of course, the soccer team, a great soccer team. And right above that is the Firebird field. You can see that's clearly what needs to be changed. And us calling it Bighorn Field. But Mehdi Arzimi, I see Gary Cooper's here. If I could call those two gentlemen up representing the college and, of course, the boosters. One challenge, of course, is we got to pay for that. And so who do I call? I call Mehdi. And Mehdi had some good news, and I'd like for him to share that and give his opinion because Mehdi's been involved in a lot of these moves along the way. Mehdi?
Should I give you the good news first, or should I have my little...
Whatever you'd like.
Okay, I appreciate that. Mr. Mayor, council members, and our great, wonderful city manager, thank you for creating an opportunity and support to have our athletics shine on the national stage. Your city staff and our community clubs, like Bullhead City Rotary Club, Los Matadores, Mojave Sunrise Rotary Club, Juanes and other members of our community worked hard to provide a beautiful stage for our Mojave College soccer teams to enhance their talent under the leadership of the Mojave College and Camilo Valencia, the 2025 Coach of the Year in both Arizona College Athletic Conference and also Western District NJCAA, to be able to beat number 3 team in the nation. Please remember this. Number 3 in the nation was beat by our team, our college team. So, in my opinion, You know, these huge success would not be possible without the city employees like David Heath, Ms. Angie Johnson, Alex Cruz, and last but not least, you know, Victor Cervantes. I can tell you that I call him that he has a PhD in grass because, you know, I heard it from a Long Beach, you know, coach because I had the opportunity to spend some time this season at the stand and help the, you know, the concession. And I had the opportunity to speak with, you know, different coaches. And the coach of the Long Beach, you know, college told me that, you know, they spend millions of dollars every year in Long Beach on their fields, and the field is not even close to what we have there. So this stadium is amazing, and, you know, the result is like, you know, having a very good team and very good program that has, you know, succeeded. I can tell you all the accomplishments of the, you know, men's soccer team this year. They were the conference champions of Arizona Community College Athletic Conference, Region 1 champions, National Junior College Athletic Association, West District champions, National Junior College Athletic Association, Final Four semifinalists in the nation, Goalkeeper of the Year, you know, Chase Radford, Region 1 NJCAA, Player of the Year, Lazar Ramos, Region 1 NJCAA, Offensive Player of the National Tournament, Ramos, NJCAA, number one name teamed in the, you know, in the nation tournament team. And then, you know, we had like four players that, you know, they made it to the All-Region, three named for the All-Region, you know, based on the second team. And Coach of the Year, wow, we had the Coach of the Year, Camilo Valencia, ACCAC, Coach of the Year, Camilo Valencia, Western District, NJCAA, and the number two ranked team in NJCAA, DI, soccer, you know, all that. So the list goes on and on. So I just want to let you know on the, in my opinion, in the first year that they were able to play playoff, because last year they were all the way to the end, but they had some rules and some, you know, stipulation that they could not participate in the playoff, so they had to stop. But this year, they made it all the way to the point that, you know, they made it to Florida. And as I said, the second match, they were able to beat number three in the nation. So they are among the top four in the United States right now. And I believe that is the highest accomplishment of any athletic team in Mojave County and also in Bullhead City. And again, I thank you for your vision that you were able to provide that support, you know, for this, you know, youth to be here. And again, you cannot translate this into any dollar amount, but I can tell you that, you know, because of this accomplishment, we are gonna be receiving a lot of, you know, students that are want to be part of the Mojave College. They're gonna be here because of that, because now we have a national recognition for, in my opinion, for the first time. So having said that, I'll go to the good news. You know, the good news is that, you know, we are going to change this upon your approval. We are going to go ahead and change that. And we do not want to have like a chintzy little banner, you know, change. We would like to have like electronics and make it really fancy. And that's gonna be sponsored by, you know, a sponsor. It is not gonna cost the taxpayers of the Bullhead City a penny. It is going to be 100% covered by a sponsor for this reason. So, you know, if you have any question, I'll be more than happy to answer.
And Mayor, if you don't mind, if Gary wants to say anything.
All I'm gonna say is it's always fun to follow Medi. Because it's already said, but I do want to thank each of you. I saw many of you out at the games this season, and I turn back and I see many of our fans back here as well. I can just say it's a great time to be a Bighorn in Bullhead City, Arizona. So thank you for all that you've done to make this happen, and this gentleman right here has led us, And he did more than just concessions. He was one of our greatest fans. So
thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you both.
One last item I'd like to mention, if I may. I'd like to thank Chief of Police for, you know, providing the escort for the welcome, you know, group that they had, you know, when the players came to town. It was a Sunday, 8:30 p.m., late on Sunday. We couldn't really organize anything, but Chief of Police was nice enough to schedule Lieutenant Rigger and also Sergeant Carter, plus the Mojave County Sheriffs. You know, they had two, Lieutenant, you know, Savino and, you know, Wilson. They were escorting with the lights on, so these kids, you know, to feel, you know, really welcome to our area, which they were well-deserved, plus other people that, you know, they joined, you know, for that welcome party. So, again, thank you so much. What's that?
They were welcome home.
Absolutely. Welcome home. Any questions?
I don't think so. Thank you, Maddie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Great accomplishment. Anybody in the audience like to address this item? Seeing no one rise, council. Oh, wait a minute. Larry, you got, when I say anyone, I mean up.
Larry Tuneforce, Bullhead City. Rick Griffiths, that owns Perkins, has just been recently named the district manager of the year for the whole Perkins restaurants. I had to go meet with him about 3 weeks ago on a Saturday, and I walked in, and as I opened the door, out came the visiting soccer team, like 30 of them. And I stood there, and I thought, this is a full-time job, holding this door open. But when Medi says we can't figure out how much money was spent, you talk to Rick at Perkins, and he can give you an idea. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing no one rise, council.
Mr. Mayor, it'll always be Firebird to me, always. But first of all, I want to thank you two gentlemen for everything you've done, and I move to approve item 4 as read.
Second motion.
Have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
That concludes our meeting for this evening. Thank you for joining us.
We provide the service that the citizens want and deserve by getting out into the community and listening to them, hearing what they want out of the